This short series, God willing, is designed to show you how to apply for the gift already yours. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? How is that desire satisfied? First, there is a conviction of sin. After the new birth, there is a conviction of want. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after God, the living God. That can be sweet agony. The condition of appetite must exist. It is a law of demand and supply. Those who assume they are spiritually rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing and know not that they are miserable and poor and blind and naked will never receive. They are never customers in a spiritual market. They must be entertained. It's a distinct crowd. You'll find them by these markings, coveting earnestly, seeking the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, longing for abundant entrance, desiring the reward of those who turn many to righteousness. You must grow in grace while you grow in knowledge. Otherwise, your Christian profession becomes warped. It takes more than knowledge to be an overcomer. It takes a lot of God. Intellectual apprehension of truth, without any corresponding moral effects, becomes devastating. It's awful, awful to see sin still having dominion over you. Roots of bitterness, want of a meek and quiet spirit, ugly weeds that choke the harvest. So you resolve, you pray, you strive, you do penance. You need more. But how do you get it? And your Christian profession becomes frustration. Take courage. If the want is there, that is a healthy sign. Jesus said, "Learn of me, and ye shall find rest." The famed Harriet Beecher Stowe once wrote, "The will of Christ seems to me the steady pulse of my being. I am calm, but full, everywhere and in all things instructed. And I find I can do all things through Christ." I have reached this dual conviction. First, the utter impotence of the flesh to do any good. And second, the mighty power of the flesh to work evil. If the flesh rules, it is spiritual disaster. If the spirit governs, it is spiritual dominion. The sequence in your life is obvious if you read the New Testament. First, you are delivered from the curse of sin. Second, you are delivered from the power of sin. Make no mistake about it, sir. God has this sequence for you. The second condition of receiving is repentance for having kept the baptizing Savior out of his full possession of your being so long, and for the resulting failures of your life. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. How sweetly, how quickly the Comforter will come. Look at your loss column. Wrong words spoken, questionable deeds done, evil thoughts harbored, duties neglected, enjoyment lost, usefulness impaired. You don't want to be like that. Then say so. Where Jesus in command, it would be different. The third condition for receiving is to feel the importance of a spirit-filled life. That lay upon the 120. They had been enlisted to be Christ's representatives, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to go and disciple all nations. So much was expected of them. The burden to be lay heavily upon them. They were to represent Jesus, and that is a huge task. That is far more demanding than representing your denomination or Sunday school class. Peter would remember his fickleness and his lying and blasphemy and cowardice. Thomas would remember his doubting. James and John would remember their tempers. There was so much against them. What was for them? The answer was the living, victorious, loving Jesus was for them. And so they stayed in his presence. That was the smartest thing to be done. They made his endowment the most important object of their lives. R.A. Torrey said of the Pentecostal experience, "No man ever received who thought he could get along without it." The fourth condition for receiving is to believe the promise is for you. You must be convinced that it is true, that if you seek, you shall find. Don't play games. Be convinced that it is attainable. Until you do, you will not put your heart into it. And nothing is more offensive to God than doubt. Men had to believe they could get to the moon before they got there. This directive is to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Try that on for size. That verily has the strength of an oath or covenant. It is like an engagement ring. You already have a right. Look at these words. Today is the day of salvation. The provision is for you. Stop dating it back to the early church. Believe, and you can appropriate. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You are there somewhere. You are included. Consider the unlimited power of God. We admit that to create a clean heart in a sinner is a greater work than to create a world or light a sun. But we must remember, God has imposed upon himself the task of cleansing us from all sin. So when I believe, I'm immediately moving in God's direction for me. Consider the atonement. The wealth of that victory is sufficient to cover every demand made upon it. Christ came for one purpose, to put credit to my account. And then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. That provision is for me. The fifth condition for receiving is hunger and thirst, both. It is a combination of reading the word and giving yourself to prayer. The word will feed you. Prayer will quench your thirst. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Water is always a figure for the Holy Spirit. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'll tell you this, a man who does not relish food cannot receive it. He will starve and die in the midst of plenty. Singing about it and talking about it are not enough, lady. That happens too often. Singing or talking about love do not necessarily mean that you are the least bit in love. You say to me, I cannot force myself to partake. Appetite is created by healthy conditions. Get where romance is promoted, and you'll soon find yourself in love. The source of faith, that strong urge, is the word of God. That will create hunger. Try it. You'll read about a better life than you have been living, and that will awaken desire as surely as shopping stirs me to better clothes and better furniture. It worked for Paul. He said those things that were gain to me. What are they in your life? Church standing, friends, family, business, assets, time, talent, reputation. Are you satisfied? Is there still ache? Then place these on the debit side. Count them loss for Christ. If there isn't something better that you want, then your life is static. Moody said, let it be the cry of your heart, day and night. And one of the sweetest confessions Moody ever testified is this. He said, I remember I used to take pride in having the largest congregation in Chicago on a Sunday night. Two godly women used to come and hear me. One of them came to me on a night after I had preached very satisfactorily, as I thought. I fancied she was going to congratulate me on my success, but she said, we are praying for you. I wondered if I had made some blunder that they talked in that way. Next Sunday, they were there again, evidently in prayer while I was preaching. One of them said, we are still praying for you. I couldn't understand it, and I said, praying for me? Why don't you pray for the people? I'm all right. Ah, they said, you are not all right. You have not got power. There's something lacking, but God can provide. I did not like it at first, said Mr. Moody, but I got to thinking it over, and after a little time, I began to feel a desire to have what they were praying for, and they continued to pray for me. And the result was that at the end of 3 months, God filled me with himself. And I want to tell you this. I would not for all the world go back to where I was before 1871. I love that incident. Oh, I love that incident in Moody's life. Don't be ashamed of heart hunger. Acknowledge it. It is a sign of health. Thank God you are experiencing it. Don't deny soul thirst. Let it dominate you. It will bring you reality. You'll experience a moment of indescribable fulfillment when Jesus becomes to you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You'll know him so much better. People in the world fall in love with screen and stage personalities. They can't get enough of them. They hunger and thirst to see these stars in more and more rows. They line up and wait for the doors to open. They buy reserved seats. They soak in magazine articles. They treasure autographs. And there are folk who feel that way about Jesus. He has the biggest following of all over more years. So let it get a hold of you. You'll become a fan of his. And those who do not understand this thing between you will laugh at you and call you a fanatic. But you'll experience something they themselves need to deliver them from bored existence. And you'll know what it is, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. The sixth condition for receiving is obedience. The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. This is a fundamental condition which can never be changed or disregarded. And I will start here next week. If Christ carries and spares us, I want to minister to you by sharing to help you realize and apprehend that for which also you are apprehended of Christ Jesus. Don't deal yourself short. Decide not to live below your privileges. And that is my aim, to help you to know Jesus better. So while hearts are open toward Jesus, we'll move to the long, long altar. Thank God, in our broadcast services, it doesn't take long. Kneel with us at the first convenient place. The Master is reaching towards you in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you, for you.
This altar for many years has moved through Guyana, South America. And thousands have knelt with us there. Among them, Rental Bess, there at New Amsterdam, for Beast. And I know where that is. Brennan says, Jesus has opened a way for me. I have better employment than I've ever known. And I know that things are changed at this altar, because they've been changed for me. Mrs. Paul Hall is at the altar as it passes through Longview, Washington. And I know where that is. I've been there as well. She says, I'm a senior citizen with no more of this world's goods than a pension. But I'm rich in the blessing of God, and that matters. I have only pennies to send you, but they will be sent in the name of Jesus. I'll be waiting to fellowship you at the long, long altar. Those are the kind of things which make you proud to be a Christian. Jesus, we all need thee. We all love you very, very much. Spread thy blessing the full length of this altar. I pray for the one who has faltered and tumbled, is bruised, criticized, and discouraged. Reach that friend particularly. I pray for the person who has made up his or her mind to follow thee at any cost. Come to that person in power and authority. And I pray for this nation. We need humility. It is a gift that will better us and save us from further humiliation. Help all evangelicals to learn that our best marching and our loudest lobby are only as strong and as effective as first going to thee and waiting and listening until we are given assurance that thou art in the forefront. Jesus is minister and pastor in chief at the meeting. I'm always instructed with you in observing his application of Calvary, the open tomb, and the ascension at the long, long altar. And Jesus of Nazareth exercises divine judgment here. It's given to me to discern that among the thousands breathing soul desire at the long, long altar is a man who longs to open a small business of his own. He wishes to find this avenue of expression in his lifetime, something he can shape and offer to others some ideas of his own. And why not? There is nothing wrong with that desire. How to do it, how to get started are the immediate concerns. And I'm used in this moment to tell you that right away the answers will be apparent. You will be the happiest man in the community. Jesus loves to do such things as he did for fishermen when he told them on which side of the boat to let down the net. So exalt your Lord through this blessing and tell others to trust and not to be afraid. Yes, this has been the meeting. The Master has sent me as your evangelist. The Holy Spirit gathers us as remarkably and as accurately as he will for the meeting in the air. Rely upon his guidance. for he is the Spirit of truth. And I believe with you that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.